Welcome back to the Fox Box Brothers podcast. He is Vic Perez. I'm Vic Perez. And today we are coming to you after the Belgian GP. Nick, it was a wet one for, I guess, about 10 laps of the races, or 10 laps of the race today, switching from the intermediates to the softs, or to the mediums and hards. Kind of a strategy race, not my personal favorite. It was like a five if I had to give it a rating. It wasn't like super exciting. People kind of just like stayed in positions after the first lap. But let's get into it. And what were your initial thoughts on the race around Spa today?
Yeah, no, the tire deck just wasn't high enough. Like, for it to force a very interesting race because of the type of track it was, it really didn't give them... It didn't force a second pit stop after the first one for intermediates. And it was a very interesting race because it was kind of boring and there was no real movement besides the tire switch. So there was no movement, not a lot of on-track overtakes and stuff like that. Now, I did have a theory though, Ben. Yesterday,
what's the theory?
Yesterday, watching the qualifying, I saw Oscar, he was off by 0.8. Or 0.08, so thousandths of a second.
The difference between pole and second place?
Yes. I was wondering if that he did that on purpose. That he like let off right before the line to slow down that just little bit to put himself behind because he saw what Max did to him today. Or the day before.
No, I think it's a creative theory, but I just don't see why a driver would purposely get second. Because Max made the move on him today, and he did a similar move to Lando. But Lando, once they like restarted the race after the rain had went away, just looked like he had no power in his car. And I thought that he was having some sort of like electrical issue because Piastri just got by him without even a fight. And I thought it was just a weird kind of like little segment of the race. But I don't think that, to go back to your question, he did that because he saw what Max was able to do on Saturday, the day before. I think if any driver has pole position, you have an innate advantage, even though it might be a little bit like slipstreamy around Spa.
Yeah, but sure. No, like overall, it was very interesting, especially how fast that turnaround is between the sprint race and qualifying for the actual race. It's a very fast turnaround.
Yeah, so here's my question is, how are you enjoying the new format with the sprint shootout, sprint race, the open Parc Fermé, and then you have qualifying and the race again?
I don't like that they can change stuff.
Okay, why don't you?
Because it's less punishing, I guess, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't think they should just be able to change stuff from sprint quali to sprint race to the actual race.
Yeah, just because it opens up the, like,
it's just,
I
weird.
Guess it makes the sprint seem less important. Is the thing that I've noticed, and I think that's what you're alluding to right then, is that no matter what the sprint result section or session, no matter what the sprint result session, the session results are, it doesn't really dictate what's going to happen in qualifying and the race later on. Because it almost seems like a separate little event that doesn't dictate what's going to happen during the race.
Well, yeah, and we even saw it because Lewis did amazing during the sprint. No. Did he do?
No, he did not do amazing during the sprint.
Well, he did bad all weekend, but... we saw the Haases. We saw a lot of different people who normally aren't in the top 10 in contention during the sprint. But then as soon as the race actually started, true qualifying started. It's like they almost were not there.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to Lewis real quick. Yes, he did have a rough weekend. His tire strategy to pit early for the medium tires, the slicks, was probably the best decision made all weekend because it was around lap 12 and he, Bordoletto, Alonso, Gasly, and Hulkenberg, I want to say, all came in. It really worked out for Hamilton, Bordoletto, Gasly. Alonso was nowhere to be found. He was struggling all week, and our easy money that I thought was going to be easy money, or the teammate battle, he came out behind Lance Stroll again today.
I know.
But that was kind of the best strategy call, because that launched him from starting 18th, I believe, to up to 7th in that Ferrari. So it ended up being a good result for him.
It ended up working out for him. There was definitely just so much. It was just a weird race overall. I really didn't feel too connected to one driver or feel like anyone really had that good of a weekend.
Yeah, well, the McLarens were just so far ahead of everyone today. Let's talk about Oscar and Norris. We kind of touched about it when we were talking about Oscar's first lap overtake. But they were just so far ahead of the field. It looked like their upgrades that they did bring did improve the car significantly.
100%.
So do you think anyone's going to be able to catch them through the rest of the year?
I mean, Max is close, but also Max has to deal with other people. And Max's car, he has to force it to be that high. So I don't know. It's definitely an interesting one, to say the least. And to see, I really don't believe anybody can really touch the McLarens this year. I'm just waiting until they collide into each other.
Yeah, I was telling one of Trey's friends, David, who's a F1 fan, interested in coming on the podcast. So I think that we should start having guests on. But with that, Lauren Mekies and Max, it seemed like a solid weekend to just kind of like steady the ship after the ousting of Christian Horner. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like it reinvigorated Yuki as well. I know you were talking about meeting someone at out yesterday wearing the Red Bull shirt, and they didn't know anything about Red Bull. But like the team does seem reinvigorated and at least like a more steady ship than the roller coaster that Christian Horner had the team on.
100%. And I mean, sometimes that's all you need is just someone in your corner and someone who actually like knows what you're capable of and is able to support you to help you really get over that hurdle.
Yeah, let's see. Hopefully it helps Yuki for the rest of the year. Let's continue down the grid, Nick. How did you enjoy Charles?
He should have gotten a penalty.
Oh, for coming out ahead of Albon?
Yeah, that was an unsafe release. Like a textbook unsafe release. But I guess because he's in a Ferrari, he doesn't get penalized. If he was in a Red Bull, he would have gotten penalized. Or a McLaren, he would have gotten penalized. But
yeah, it was noted. Even with the... Are these interval times? Yeah, 5 second would have cost him the third place. But they didn't collide. It didn't really affect either of them too much. So
it affected Max though. Golly, because Max had to hold because he was waiting for the Williams to pass them, and so his pit box was holding him for that. And then the Ferrari came out, so really just interrupted Max.
Yeah. Well, I thought that the weirdest part about Max's race was he was within like a second and a half of Leclerc for like the last half of the race.
For the whole race.
That gap never shut down. Like he was never able to close in on Leclerc today.
Yeah, it was just, I think that Red Bull doesn't follow well at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really struggles when it gets up close to things.
That's fair. The dirty air. Hopefully with the new regulations coming in 2026, there'll be less dirty air.
These regulations were supposed to fix.
And golly, they did for the first year. We had really great racing. And then the engineers found how to do how to add downforce and then create more dirty air.
Everybody's supposed to fix the dirty air. That's what they all say. All these regulations are supposed to make tighter racing and better races. But, you know, sometimes just ends up being the same old, same old.
That's fair. George Russell, Mr. Consistency, came home with another top five finish. Good on him. Antonelli was not as good today.
Don't know what happened to him. Oof, that was bad.
He was absent. I thought that his tire strategy could have brought him a little bit higher up the grid, but he was stuck behind Esteban Ocon for the most of the race. And then he did make a move and got around Esteban Ocon, then took a little bit too much speed, compromised his exit, and then Ocon was able to get back in front of him. But like for the last like 10 laps, Antonelli was within half a second, and he couldn't get past Esteban.
Yeah, it was just a weird race for him in general. Antonelli was kind of in nowhere's land. The Haas boys were out of nowhere. Hulkenberg somehow snuck his way into the points again. No.
Bordoleto got into the points. Bordoleto. It was close to your 8-11 prediction because Bordoleto came 9, Hulkenberg came 12. But a team that kind of had a bounce back weekend, at least for Alex Albon and Williams. And I will say that I do need to start giving my roses to Alex Albon. I used to think that he was just an overrated driver within the Red Bull family. He was able to easily handle Latifi and Logan Sargeant once they were in. But now that he's doing it against Carlos Sainz and consistently over the first half of the season, showing that he is out qualifying and outpacing Carlos Sainz, I just need to give him his roses because he is a very impressive driver and just like a solid driver that you want on your team.
Oh, 100%. And consistency is key, and especially in F1. So it makes me hate George Russell, because there was a part of me that thought he was going to be able to get Max, and that would have made me really sad. But
Seems like the rumors have died down for Max to George real quick on that. So it seems like it will most likely happen in 2026.
Yeah, and it really... Kimi's not looking too good right now. His seat was.
No, he's been on a slump. Which I think he's gonna right the ship. I think Toto has invested way too much into Kimi Antonelli to give up after like one season. And Kimi has shown pace and he has shown brilliance. He got the podium. He got the sprint pole. There's potential there. He's 18. Like he's still going to class. He's still finishing up exams. He still is very young and has a lot to mature on. But I think it's just a little bit of a slide, and Toto is going to give him whatever he needs to become the next great like F1 driver. Because I do think that he still has it in him, and it's a bit early to start sounding the alarm flags for Kimi.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, no, it was an interesting race for the Mercedes team today. But yeah. One driver that I did want to talk about though is the Alpines. What do you think is going to happen with Frank Colapinto?
I think if I had to put money down, they probably switch him out for Valtteri Bottas, because the gap in qualifying, the gap in the races has just been growing and growing. I think that Colapinto has lost confidence, and I hate that. I hate to say that, but he does just look nervous. And when you're going 230 miles per hour around a track, you can't hesitate. And if you don't have complete trust in that vehicle, then you're in trouble, because that just wastes a tenth of a second around the lap. And with how tight margins have been this season, it just is unsustainable. So if you bring in someone with more experience, even like a Guanyu Zhou, if they wanted to go out for someone like that, you would just get a steady hand behind the wheel, because Pierre has shown that he can drive that tractor into a points scoring position. Yeah. So that would be my prediction, is that Alpine releases Colapinto, brings in Bottas, and just kind of steadies the ship for the rest of the season. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I think... It was a thought I had during the race, and I don't think they'd ever do it, but Valtteri looks like Toto's evil henchman, because they're always sitting together in the garage. So Valtteri looks like his right-hand man, and I'm very interested to see where he ends up, especially with Cadillac coming in. And I think that if they did a veteran pairing of Sergio and... Valtteri, that team would be unstoppable.
Yeah, I don't mind the Valtteri Bottas deal. I think you would, if I was a team principal, you'd want to bring in someone a little bit younger to compare against, Checo. And I know Haas did it with Hülkenberg and Magnussen, and you did see the benefit of having two experienced drivers. So maybe first year into the season, you do bring in two more experienced drivers. But I guess here's a question for you on driver lineups: is what would you prefer to see? Because it seems like there's at each with 10 teams on the grid, there's 10 like drivers that are vying for a world championship, and then there's 10 like B drivers. I don't know if that's true now that I'm looking at the grid. But yeah, just forget that question. That sounded better in my head than it did when I spoke it out into the existence. But moving on, the final people rounding out the top 10 are Liam Lawson, who surprisingly showed a lot, beat Hajar and again today. And I don't know what happened to Isaac after his pit stop.
He just kind of fell back. And I think they had a really, really slow pit stop.
Was there an issue with his car or something? Because he was like 2 seconds and then dropped to like 20. So I didn't see if he had driven off the road. I couldn't find it on the F1 app.
I thought he just had a slow pit stop.
Okay.
So
anything to say about the Kiwi? The Kiwi? Liam Lawson.
Oh, Liam? No, it was a very surprising race. I'm really surprised how well he's done, and I really do like them. That's the thing about F1 that I don't really like, is that they're people. No, it's bad, because they are people, and I really, those two together, I really like their chemistry, especially on the team together. So
yeah, Liam and Hajar, solid pairing. They also make some pretty funny videos, because I saw their spa day.
But, yeah.
And if you haven't seen that, go check that out, because solid
media teams play. This year have definitely stepped it up. It's very fun to watch all these videos.
Yeah. Rounding out the like last two people in the top 10, Bordoletto, we've talked about him. Good on you, Gabby, for coming in the points again this week. And then Pierre Gasly driving that tractor into a 1 point pace finish. So any thoughts on them?
Nope. It's one of those things.
Fair enough. And any thoughts on the bottom 10 drivers in Behrman, Hulk, Yuki, Stroll, Spahn, Tinelli, Alonso, Sainz, Colapinto, and Hajar?
We hit on a couple of them. I think Alonso, I think it's about time for he's going to hang it up.
Yeah, open the door for Max to come in.
George.
I'm here for that. Oh, I did have a question. When was the last time every driver finished a race?
Well, we had that happen today, right?
Yeah, we did. But I feel like it had been... Oh, okay. So how many times in F1 history, Nick, has every driver finished a race?
I don't know.
It is 18 times in the 75 years of F1 that everyone has finished a race. The last time was in 2024 during the Bahrain Grand Prix.
10 times, that's it?
No, 18.
18. Yep. But still, that's. I mean, I guess you got to think about it, how much stuff can go wrong during a F1 race. It's honestly all surprising that 20 drivers finish 18 times together.
Yeah, and that's why I was curious about Hajar at the end, because I was like, if there's an engine problem, then he's definitely going to be the reason that not everyone finishes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, any final thoughts on the race review before we just recap our competition segments?
Nope. I thought it was an okay race. It was just a very boring race towards the end of it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Nothing to write home about. Kind of weird also, because we have like this one sprint race and then we go back to no F1. So honestly, I think that they should have just made this summer break 6 weeks long.
Yeah, that's a lot of time off, though, in the middle of a season. Well,
I just don't, or like do it a little bit closer to the start of the next one.
Yeah.
So, anyway, those are our thoughts. Let's get into our competition segment. Nick, let's just recap our competition segments. Each week we are going to do a top 10, or I guess we do a top 10 finisher, teammate battle, and then we pick a podium, and then let's actually review our locks of the week as well. So starting off with the top 10 finish, you did choose Gabriel Bortoletto. So congrats on hitting that one. You did come, or you get 1 point for him. I believe I took Fernando Alonso to come top 10, and that did not work out for me. So you get 1 point for that one. Your teammate battle, you did choose Kimi over George, which did not hit, but neither did mine because I chose Fernando Alonso over Lance Stroll, and that one also didn't hit. Lance came 14th, Fernando 17th, and then George 5th, and Kimi 16th. And then for our podium, you did get 1 point for Piastri coming home at the top position. You did choose Max to come home second, and you ratted it out with Lando. So you get 1 point for choosing Piastri correct. Lando did come in second, and then Max was fourth. And then I chose Lando coming in first, which did not hit. George coming in second, and then Max coming in third. So not a good weekend for me. I don't think that I got any points, and you got 2 points, which brings it up to 10-11 going into the summer break. So good on you today. All right, Nick, and wrapping up our locks of the week, you did hit on both of them for the first time. So you took Stroll at 14.5 to do better than that, which did come in. Carlos, you had at worse than 9.5, which also hit. I did not do as well. George was right on the bubble for the fourth place position, was not able to overtake Max during this race, and ended up coming home in fifth. So he did not do better than 4.5. And then I had Hulkenberg worse than 10.5. He cuts his 3 point win or 3 points race streak, and comes home in 12th or 13th today. 12th today. So I think that wraps up everything that I had to say. Anything that you want to tell the listeners, Nick? All right. Well, please go like, subscribe. We really enjoy hearing your comments, seeing your guys' feedback. Thank you for all the support that you guys have given us. And it just helps us do and bring more of this content, F1 content, for everyone in the world. So with that, Nick, you need to switch from the inners to the slicks. Your deg is super high, and I need you to come into the box and come into the pits and box.
Die together. We die together.
See you next time. Peace.